Well, would you pray for me tonight? Need the Lord's help, His visitation upon His Word into each one of our hearts. I'll say I'm thankful to be here. I'd like to begin this evening in the 91st chapter of Psalms. Psalms 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." There's a word here that is repeated at least twice, I'd like for us to consider. Pestilence describes it first as the noisome pestilence. As I understand the definition of those words, it's destructive or deadly, contagious or infectious epidemic or disease that is virulent and devastating. I don't think it's a secret to anyone here tonight that we've been facing a pandemic. Have you heard of COVID-19? Anyone here not tired of hearing about COVID-19? Didn't have a camp meeting last year because of it, because of its effects. COVID-19, I can remember coming home from India in January of last year, and I remember going through Hong Kong and I saw people with masks on, and I remember wondering, what are you wearing a mask for? What is it that, what are you afraid of? What, is there something I need to know about? And little did I know, we began to hear word over the week or two that followed about some unusual virus or contagion that not much was known about at the time. But we all know probably more about it now than what we care to know about. We've heard it for, what's it been, 14, 16 months now? It's been at the forefront of our nation and of our world's attention. This pandemic that is not just isolated to one part of the world, the origins of it have been debated, but it's not isolated to the country of origin, to the region where it perhaps was first known. This thing has spread worldwide. Early on, it seemed like that we were so far removed from it. Well, we heard about maybe on the news or it was noteworthy. The first case has been now documented in the United States. The first case has been documented in Ohio. And we saw a rising level of almost panic that gripped our nation. Unlike anything we faced for quite some time, not aided by the fact of the way it was covered, the attention that it garnered in the media. We probably all can relate or remember the trips to the store, to the paper goods aisle where the shelves were bare. The stories and the scenes of those whenever a pallet was brought out from the back with a fresh supply of toilet paper, the people descending on that pallet and it being gone in just a matter of minutes or less. Similar story with the meat aisles and things like that. You know, it has affected just about every aspect of our lives, as a society, as a nation, in some way, I would say every one of us in some manner have been impacted by COVID-19 or by the lockdown and the shutdown and the related policies that have been put in place to try to contain it worldwide. Non-discriminatory in who it impacted. Oh, there were those that were more susceptible perhaps to the effects of it or to catching it. But it's something that reached out and touched just about everybody in the world. And it's not my intent to weigh in on the controversial aspects of how it's been covered and how it's been handled. But we realize that it's been handled with the utmost urgency. It's been treated that way since, just a matter of weeks into it, as the experts, as they were called, began telling us as a nation and as a world just how deadly this was. That this isn't something to mess with or to take for granted, we've been told. It's not something that you're just going to be strong enough that you're not susceptible to it, we've been told. And we've seen indeed a number of people that have been affected by it. We've probably known a number of people who have died as a result or by some complication of that or a related sickness. But this is talking about a pestilence, about a pandemic or an epidemic that lays waste everything in its path. I don't know what the statistics are, and I'll be honest, I'm a little skeptical of some of the statistics that I see related to the survivability, maybe you can call it, or what are your chances of reviving or surviving if you are diagnosed with COVID. But my burden tonight, if I were to tag it, is a deadlier pandemic. There is a noisome pestilence. There is a deadly disease that is viral, that is contagious, that is running rampant through our world today. And in a nation and a world that have given so much focus for all these months to the dangers of COVID, to the necessity of containing it and controlling it and isolating ourselves from it and protecting ourselves by whatever means necessary, I would to God that the same kind of vigilance, the same kind of awareness would be given to the fact that there is a deadlier pandemic. There is a pandemic that when it runs its course, destroys everyone in its wake. Whenever it's not checked and treated and corrected, the end of it is death. Well, it's not a dark picture that the psalmist was painting here. Indeed, it's one of putting our trust in the Lord. Despite the elements that are going on around us, despite the environment and the conditions, that the Lord is able to keep us. You know, the Lord is able and still desires to keep a people that are pure, holy, untainted by the diseases of this world. And I hope you realize by now I'm not talking about something that can be diagnosed with a nasal swab. This is something that goes much deeper than COVID. This is a disease that affects and attacks the heart of man. And it is the disease of sin. A noisome pestilence. Read about pestilences in different stories in the Bible. It was one of the options that was offered to David of three. As punishment, David numbering the people of Israel, transferring his trust from God to their own strength, he said, I'll offer you three options. 7 years of famine, well, that's a long time. Or 3 months of being pursued by your enemy, running for your life. Or 3 days of pestilence. David chose the 3 days of pestilence, saying, Lord, I would rather it be at your hand than at the hand of my enemies. And so the pestilence was turned loose. And in those 3 days, 70,000 people lost their lives. This pestilence is not something to treat lightly. And yet so many people are treating it lightly. We've become numbed in our nation, in our world, to this disease that is wrecking the lives of so many people. Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Proverbs 14 and 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Right in the midst of our focus on recovering from COVID, on slow the spread, there's a deadlier pandemic that's running loose. And I don't hear any lawmakers that are saying we've got to do something about this. Well, maybe in a way they are. They're looking and saying, how can we have these kind of shootings? What's the cause of all these problems and these ills in society? But they're trying to go about it by treating the symptoms instead of the disease. This disease is not cured by treating and dealing with the symptoms. But as I want to touch on a little later, there is a cure. But it's not found in the ways that the world is trying to cure their ills, their woes. We had the request tonight for broken homes. You know what a broken home is? It's a symptom of a pestilence that is sweeping across our nation today. And we're not going to be able to treat it with legislation. We're not going to be able to treat it with laws that are passed. It's going to have to go deeper than that. And yet it is no less serious and far deadlier than any other pandemic that we faced. Scripture says in Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And in Romans, the 6th chapter, it says the wages of sin is death. Whenever it runs its course, it's the end of it. There's really no natural recovery from this pestilence. And yet it's one that so many people are deceived today into believing that I can handle this. I'm strong. I'm not vulnerable. I'm not susceptible to this. It won't have the same effect on me that it's had on other people. And we see on every hand people by the millions being destroyed. People by the millions, their homes going down, marriages being broken apart, homes that we thought perhaps even those that we've known, that everything's all right, and then you find out everything's not all right. Folks, there's a pestilence in our land today. There is an epidemic that is sweeping through our land today. Lord, help us to realize the deadliness of this disease. That we would take the proper precautions that I not be affected by it. There is a picture that's given to us in the Bible that I believe is an excellent type of sin and its effects. And it's that of leprosy. Leprosy doesn't affect us in our nation like it has in nations in the past or even in some nations still today. I'm trying to work with some people in India that are still lepers, that are impacted by leprosy. And it disfigures their body, their limbs. It gnarls and twists and eats away at their flesh. And I don't want to be gruesome about it, but it's not a pretty disease. It's terrible. It's disfiguring. It's marring. It changes the appearance of somebody. But you know, really, that's what sin does. Sin disfigures a person. It twists the way their mind works. It changes their appearance. You know, you can almost see it written on the face of somebody whenever they've caught the disease. Whenever sin has gotten a hold of them, you can see a certain innocence that's gone. That's missing. I don't know how to describe it hardly, but there's a different look that comes in its place. There's a hardness and a hardening that begins to come over a person. And you can see it. You can see its effects. It dismembers. It affects marriages and homes and children. It affects and destroys lives. Sin. This world has not found a cure. And yet there's one so readily available. The origin of this disease was no lab in Wuhan. This disease's origins are from the pits of hell. And whenever we're surrounded by something like this so long, and we see it all around us, you know what the tendency is? That I begin to get numb to it. That I begin to get desensitized to it. But I would that God would help us as sin would appear exceeding sinful. That we'd be able to see the devil and his tricks and what he's offering. That we'd be able to see the effects of what sin does on lives. You know, it's why we have the Word of God. As Solomon wrote so many times through Proverbs, "My son, listen. My son, look on the wrecks that are all around you. Wake up, pay attention to the foolish man that went by her corner. My son, wake up. Look at him and realize that that thing ends in destruction. Realize that it'll impact you as well if you go down that corner." But whenever there is a prevalence of sin, wickedness, and unrighteousness, we can begin to get numbed to it. And I don't believe any of us are immune to that aspect of it. Well, maybe I should speak for myself. I remember hearing a number of years ago about a country in Europe that had legalized same-sex marriage. I thought, oh, how could they? Really? Somebody would do something like that? It's no less wicked or desirable. But we can be surrounded by it and hear it over and over and over and over until our senses begin to get numbed unto it. Well, we can look at that and say that's an extreme example. But you know, it is the effect of sin. There is a poem, if I can remember it, "Vice is so frightful a monster, as to be hated needs but be seen, yet seen too oft, familiar with her face, is first hated, and then endured, or pitied, and then embraced." There is a process of desensitization. There is a process of this disease that takes hold of a life. Somebody may commit a sin and say, you know, I don't really feel all that different. Indeed, the very path that leads us to sin is one that desensitizes us to the awfulness of sin. Otherwise, we'd never get close to it. We'd never approach it to get to that point. We've already been desensitized. We've already been numbed. or deceived to believe this thing isn't as harmful as what I've thought or heard. So I may partake just a little bit and say I don't feel any different. I can even still come to church and sing the songs and maybe I feel the same as I did last Sunday. But there is a course to this disease. As it begins to work, it's not isolated to one member of the body. It's not isolated to a local skin condition. Leprosy began to take over the whole body. And it even became the identity of that person. Don't think that you can indulge or partake just a little bit over here or a little bit there when nobody's looking. And it's not going to affect you. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Folks, sin still burns and scars and mars and destroys and disfigures to everyone that indulges in it and partakes in it. Lord, help us to see it as exceeding sinful. I'd like to look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesus was a very godless city, given over to the worship of the goddess Diana, pagan god, a pagan nation, a pagan people, given over to pagan practices that were licentious, that were devilish, that were wicked, even in the worship of their goddess. They would go to their temples. The things, the behaviors, the activities that took place on the step of their temples. I don't even want to go there. The scripture says that there are things that are ashamed to even be spoken of that this world indulges in. But suffice it to say, this city was given over to licentious practices. Paul writing here to the church that had been called out, many or most of them, from that kind of practice, that kind of background. If you'll remember, even in the founding of the church at Ephesus, there was a book burning of those who had been given over to the idolatrous practices. They brought their books of witchcraft and they threw them in the street and they burned them. They were so resolved and determined, I'm done with this life. I'm done. I'm forsaking it. But they were still surrounded by all of this wickedness all around him. And Paul gave him some counsel here. He said, be therefore, first verse of the 5th chapter of Ephesians, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't let yourself be numbed. Don't let yourself be deceived by the prevalence of the wickedness and the sin that's around you. Don't let people try to tell you that it's okay. You're able to indulge in a little bit of this over here, or a little bit over there is not going to hurt you. You can control it. He's writing unto the church at Ephesus saying, don't be partaker. Don't let it once be named among you. Don't let it get a foothold in your life or in the church of God, which is called to be separate and holy and pure from this world. That's still the case in 2021. The Lord is still returning for a pure and a holy church, for a people who have not given themselves over in deed or in heart to the things and the practices of this world. But there is a reason that He was warning them. The Scripture says, because iniquity doth abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because of the abundance and the prevalence all around that's pressing in Our love can be affected. There are symptoms of this disease. There's a loss of appetite. There's a deadening of the senses. You can't taste. You can't smell. There's a numbing effect to this disease. There's a lack of energy, a weakness. There's a confusion of mind that comes with the onset of this disease. And again, it results, as it runs its course, in death. Lord, help us that we not be affected by the disease that is raging around us. May it not be once named among us as saints. And I want to get a little closer now, folks. We live in an idolatrous, wicked world. It didn't start, pick a date. It didn't start in our lifetimes. This was a wicked, godless society that the Ephesians lived in. You know, there are certain places and ways where there's more susceptibility to the disease. Let not fornication be once named among you, or uncleanness. Jesus came to deal with more than the outward acts of the body. He came to make the heart pure. Scripture says, I believe it was quoted this morning, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Folks, there's a reason why Christ came, and it wasn't to have a people who were still steeped in sin. It wasn't to have a people who say, "Well, I just can't help it. This is just my weakness. This is something I've struggled with over and over, and the Lord knows it, and He'll understand it." He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to reverse the effects of this disease. It is prevalent and rampant in our world today. Pornography is prevalent and rampant in our world today. Let it not be once named among us as the saints of God. And folks, there are ways that the enemy has of working today that, again, the wickedness, the practices, the desires are not different today perhaps. But there are new means and ways of transmitting this disease. Lord, help us to be aware of the devices and the workings of the devil. Amen. That I not be caught in the clutches of this disease. Uncleanness. Impurity. From the heart to the thoughts to the outward man. Let it not be once named. The Scripture says, flee fornication. You know, there are ways that we can invite disease, that we can make ourselves susceptible to it. You know, the Lord didn't say, there's another scripture that says, flee fornication. He didn't say, be strong enough to be able to stay right in the midst of it. But He said, flee fornication. Run from it. No matter how strong you might think you are. Folks, there is something to social distancing when it comes to this disease. That we need to put some distance between us and the causes of transmission. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And guess what? Is of all those things that we read in Ephesians, guess what the world is entertained by? Almost every one of those things that were listed in Ephesians. Lord, help us not to make ourselves susceptible and vulnerable by inviting the things of the devil into our home, by listening to the music that feeds on that very thing, by putting before us, there's a reason why, folks, the saints have taught, be careful the things that you use as entertainment. There's a reason why the saints have taught against having a television in the home and using movies as entertainment and those sorts of things. Folks, you look at where it came from. You look at the origin of that thing. There's something attached to that. There are desires and innuendos and suggestions that are designed to transmit something to us. Transmit a desire to stir something within us. That we're not called as saints of God to just be strong enough that we can have these things in our lives and still be children of God. Now we can still find entertainment in and feed on the filth of the world and still call ourselves children of God. There is a deceptive aspect and influence to this disease. It begins to disfigure the mind, to twist the very reasoning and logic. The conscience begins to be defiled. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. It says, what agreement, the 16th verse, hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Don't touch the unclean thing. Put some social distance. Put some distance between us and the world. And it's going to have to be something that every one of us have a hold of for ourselves. It's going to have to be something that is treated from the inside out. Because you know, you can put all the controls around it that you want to try to put. If you don't deal with the root of the issue, the symptoms will continue to manifest themselves over and over. It doesn't matter how many masks you try to put on. It doesn't matter how you try to hide it or how, until you deal with the root of the problem. You know, the devil loves to get people into a place of discouragement when it comes to weakness or to sin, to personal failings, to think I've tried before, I can't do it. What's the use? I want to tell you tonight, there is a remedy for this disease. There is a cure. There is a deliverance from this pestilence that is sweeping across our land and destroying hearts, minds, souls, marriages and homes all around us. But it's going to have to be something more than treating the symptoms. It's going to have to be something more than the fear of man. There are certain conditions under which this disease thrives, and it is the conditions of darkness and secrecy. I'd like to look at Proverbs, the 28th chapter. There were people who were, I say, making a fortune, doing very well for themselves as this pandemic broke loose, and there was so much focus on sanitation by making hand sanitizer or offering services to go in and spray down buildings and commonly touched areas and all of that. You know, there's a sanitizing the Lord wants to do. You know, the Lord wants to clean some things up in people's hearts and lives, that they don't have all the contaminated filth that they're trying to step around, that there's a cleaning up. Come out from among them, the Scripture says. Don't touch the unclean thing. Proverbs 28 here says in the 13th verse, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. This is a disease, again, that thrives under a cloak of secrecy and shame. You know there's a remedy. There's a remedy for the effects of sin in whatever form it might take in somebody's life. Whatever way it might have manifested itself. Tonight I don't have any swab test to offer you. But I would, God, that the Spirit of the Lord would examine our hearts. To say, have I been affected? Have I been affected by sin? Have I allowed it to start numbing my senses? To begin condoning or tolerating some loose living? To begin overlooking some things in my life? Whoso confesseth and forsaketh. There is a remedy, but it's not found in a pill bottle. The world tries to offer a quick fix, a quick solution, or to say you're not sick at all. There is a complete and total remedy, but most people are not willing to take it. Most people are not willing to take the path of that remedy. Case in point, Naaman. Whenever Naaman, though he was a great man, you know, this disease doesn't just discriminate to what people might consider to be the most defiled or lowest. The greatest and wealthiest and history is replete of the stories of failures that it's not even my interest in focusing on. Of people that have caught the disease. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. And there was nothing he could do about it. He could try to wash it, but this is a disease that you don't just wash off. You can't change this yourself. There was no known treatment or cure of it at the time. But there was a remedy. And he went and sought it. The word of a little girl that told him about a man of God. He went and sought treatment. But he almost stayed a leper the rest of his life. He almost missed out on the opportunity to be made a clean man. He was defiled. People go through life with their conscience and their heart defiled and impure, with their head hanging in shame and in regret, watching over their shoulder and wishing they weren't the way they were. It's something perhaps of what Naaman felt. And he went with hope. Maybe. Maybe this is the cure. Maybe this is the answer. I'll try this. I'll try anything at this point. I really don't want to be this way. But when it came down to it and he heard what was required, you're going to have to go and dip yourself in a dirty river 7 times. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. That's ridiculous. And so is the way of God, of this remedy for this disease. The world will look on and say it's foolish. It's not necessary. I don't have to cut that out of my life. I don't have to separate myself from that. This is okay. Folks, if you feed the lion's going to keep coming back to your door. Amen. There is a place where we have to say, I got to cut myself off from this, from the filth of this world. I got to cut myself off and put some separation and some distance between me and the cause of infection of this disease. Naaman finally went and dipped himself as he was commanded. And he came up a clean, pure man. And you know that remedy still is available for people today. No matter how stained and defiled and ashamed people are, no matter how many times or how many remedies they've tried, there is still today a complete, thorough cure. That it doesn't just hide the leprosy. It doesn't just treat the effects of it. It removes it. It cleanses us. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin, from all unrighteousness, from all impurity. And it is not imputed unto us anymore. So thorough and so complete is the work of the blood of Jesus that there's no remembrance of it anymore. I don't drag those things around with me anymore. I can forget the things that are past. I can forget the kind of person that I was. I can leave that at the altar and leave it beneath the blood. And I'm a new creature now in Christ. There is a remedy that is thorough and complete tonight. Have you been affected in some way? Do you see where this disease of sin has begun to affect your appetite for the things of God? It's begun to desensitize and numb you to the things of the world. It's not just a magic pill, folks. It's not just to come into the altar and say, I got it fixed from here on out. Folks, there is a daily walk with the Lord that is the cure to the root cause. That I can try all the administrative fixes and controls that I can put in place and all the firewalls and all of that I can try to put in place in my life, that if I have not fixed the root cause of it, the symptom will crop up again. But there is a place where the Lord wants to come and root out the very depths of that sin and that desire and defilement and make us a new creation in Christ and clean us up and purify us where our head doesn't have to hang in shame anymore. Where I don't have to look and say, I wish I wasn't the way that I am. I wish I could change the way that I am, but I guess I just can't. But it's going to require being connected to the source. Not just in camp meeting. It's going to require having a connection to the vine. Where I'm living in Him. The Scripture says, be not drunk with wine. Don't go to the places the world goes to find your enjoyment and your pleasure. To satisfy the flesh and find your pleasure in life. Don't go to the world for that. But rather be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, you want to find joy? You want to find happiness? It's going to be found in the Spirit of the Lord. It's going to be found in having a connection into Christ Jesus on a day-to-day basis. And that's what's going to keep us. Folks, we need to be clean and pure walking before Him in His sight. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be sanctified walking through life with the Holy Spirit's power working in our lives. That's about more than a one-time trip. We can get it in a definite experience with the Lord. But folks, there is an ongoing day after day after day experience where I don't have to fear if I'm going to fall back down into the same pits of sin. That I don't have to fear and wonder if I'm going to revert back to the way that I was. There is an experience in the Lord through His Spirit that'll keep us and give us the power to rise above this flesh and this world. The Scripture says where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Folks, these things still work. But it's a way that most people are not willing to take, are not willing to go to those depths. I want to deal with the symptoms. I want to treat the symptom, but I don't want to have to root out sin. I don't want to have to root out something that my heart's still attached to here. I want to be able to not have the consequence of it. It's what our nation is looking for today. We don't want to have to deal with all the violence that's going on. We don't want to have to deal with all the homelessness and the drug problems that we've got and all of these things that are sweeping across our nation. But we're not willing to deal with the problem. We're not willing to recognize that it's sin that's a reproach to any nation. That it's sin that's a blight to any people. And that is pervasive. It grows, it expands, it reaches out with its tentacles into every facet and aspect of life. The longer it goes untreated, the deeper it reaches, and the more thoroughly it controls, until our nation will turn from their wicked ways and look unto God and repent. there's no healing of this disease. There's no remedy otherwise. But I'd like to close tonight where we begin. 91st chapter of Psalms. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Folks, there is a way. There is a remedy. There is a cure that we can have an assurance in God that this pestilence, though I see the destruction all around at noonday, it's out in the open now. It's not secret anymore. It's the sin and the wickedness that this world is indulging in. It's not kept back in the closet and whispered about anymore. It's paraded around through the streets and on flags and proclaimed on Facebook and on and on and on. But it doesn't have to come nigh unto us. Where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. We, though 1,000 should fall on one side and 10,000 at the other, it does not have to come nigh unto us. Thank the Lord for a cure and a remedy from this disease. At some point, this disease touches and affects everybody in the world. There's no place that they say, I'm isolated from that. No contact with it. This disease finds every soul at some point. And every soul needs this remedy that's offered only by the blood of Christ to be able to cleanse and clean up and purify and to keep us from the effects of this disease. You pray for me. Amen.